We're hearing more and more about children and youth immigrating to the United States on their own, and we see it firsthand in communities across Northern Virginia as children arrive and are reunited with parents or caregivers after years of separation. Can you imagine the challenges, fear, and risks involved? Welcome to Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones, Executive Director of SCAN of Northern Virginia, and my guest today is Robin Hamby with Fairfax County Public Schools' Family and School Partnerships Programs.
Hi, Sonia.
Thank you, Robin, for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Today, we'll discuss family reunification, including the special challenges faced by children and families who have immigrated to our community in different stages. So, Robin, let's start by talking a little bit about why family members immigrate separately and what happens to children after their parents.
Sure. In a way, it's not all that different than the early 1900s when adults were coming over, parents were coming over, sometimes separately from their children. Oftentimes, the parents come first so that they can set up a home, find work. There's been sort of an economic downfall in some of the countries where these parents and families are coming from, so they're unable to provide for their children. So for them, it's almost the last thing that they can do to provide. Oftentimes, they're coming for education as well. There are limited educational opportunities, which in the long run prevents them from earning more money if they're limited educationally. Sometimes the parents come because they already have relatives in this country, and they're hoping to connect with them. The children often come years later. The parents come because they want a better life for their children. And when they're planning their trip, they figure it'll take a year, maybe 2 years, until they can bring their children over. What they don't realize is the barriers, the legal barriers, the economic barriers, the financial barriers of actually physically bringing the children over to join them. So 1 year, 2 years can turn into 5 years, 8 years, 10 years. The largest group of children we have coming over now are coming from Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, and Mexico. And we've seen a steady increase since probably 2000. In fact, the numbers for Guatemala and Honduran children has just about doubled in Fairfax County Public Schools. So they're coming over hoping to reunite with their parent. Typically, it's the mom that's come over. And that's basically because the job opportunities, the industry that's hiring right now is hospitality, cleaning, restaurants. And so it's more likely that the mom comes over. And another reason the children are coming is fear and violence and hopelessness that they have in their home countries. The children in Honduras are basically, and this comes from talking with the children and talking with the parents, but in Honduras, it's very gang-driven. The government has fallen, and basically there's 12,000 gang members in Honduras, and it's a very small country, so 12,000 is a lot.
So per capita.
Yeah, and the children, when they reach a certain age, they're brought into criminal activities, and oftentimes certainly not by choice. They often, for example, in Guatemala, the coffee industry has changed over the years, and so where it was once a prosperous country, it's no longer. And then El Salvador is very dependent on the money that folks send back from the United States to that country. So again, they're basing their income on how the economy is doing in the United States. And of course, we've been struggling a bit. So there's many reasons that the parents come first and then the children come later to reunite.
So that gives us a great context. Now let's talk about what happens sort of within a specific family where they had this plan when the parents left or the mom left and said, I'll bring you in a year. And then that becomes 5, 6, 7 years.
Exactly.
And now when the child does come, talk a little bit about what are some of the dynamics that happen within the family.
That's an excellent question. And every family is different, but we are seeing some common denominators. As the years go by, life goes on, and the parent who has immigrated to the United States eventually finds work, sets up a home. Oftentimes, if it's a woman, they remarry, so there's a step-parent in the picture. If they're young, they have more children, so oftentimes there are citizens who speak English, little guys in the home. They continue to send money back to their children to support them, assuming that they're going to the better schools and they're able to buy food. And, you know, the caregiver, and it typically is a grandparent, aunt, or uncle, the caregiver has that extra money to help the child. But time, you know, absence of seeing each other and time form some gaps. And the child, what we're finding, becomes very devoted to the caregiver back in the country. If it's a good situation, there are some children who come from situations where they were not left with the best caregiver. But those who were left with, let's say, a grandmother, they become very attached to the grandmother. So when the children eventually do come here, they're basically coming to a family they don't know, a new configuration. There's very little bonding, especially if the mom came when the child was a toddler, 2 or 3 years old. And developmentally, you know, that can be very, very important because the young children, separation anxiety or whatever you want to call it, a young child is bonding with its parent. And when they're separated at that time, it can be very difficult. And then they grieve and they feel loss for the parent who left. They become attached to the grandparent. And then 8 years later, they leave that person to come here. And there, again, is that sense of grief and loss. And it's not always addressed. And that's one thing we try to do when we work with the families.
And that 8-year-old is a completely different person than the 2-year-old.
Completely. Right. And oftentimes, these children are pre-adolescent or adolescent, which we know brings a whole slew of new issues.
On its own.
Just developmentally. And so the parent is anticipating reuniting with this cute little cuddly child they left behind, and what they're getting is a child with the typical teenage angst, and then compiled is all these other issues, and oftentimes just the trauma of migrating here, and you have a child who's very homesick and very confused. Another thing that the research has found is that once the child is told that they'll be coming to the United States, they see that as their answer. They see that as almost like the cure. And so oftentimes they stop going to school consistently in their home country. They think that they'll be able to go to the United States and they'll be able to work and make money. They don't necessarily make that connection that education is the key to making a larger salary and for, you know, salary growth over time.
So Fairfax Schools has really taken a sort of concerted effort to support these families. Talk about some of the strategies or tips that you give both the parents and the children during that reunification process.
Well, we realized about 3 years ago that something was going on because we're getting many, many calls from very dedicated social workers and teachers and counselors. What is there in place beyond the what we already do in terms of counseling or in terms of educating the kids? Because these kids are coming over with some trauma, and these kids are coming over, again, to families that they don't feel they belong. So we started looking at the issue and coming up with ways to support the family, because we feel the stronger we can make the parents, the more they can support the children, the more the children feel loved and supported, the better they'll do in school. So we started identifying these families as soon as we could, which is not easy. So what we've done is we've worked with the registrars who register children for school, and we have what's called community liaisons. And they just ask, have you been separated from your child for any great length of time? And then we are able to sort of mark those families as folks we need to get in touch with and let them know what rich resources we have in the community that they can partake of. But then we also invite them to take a parenting class. And it's not your strict, typical, this is how you parent. We assume they're coming with some strengths and they have some skills as parents, but we do acknowledge that there's been that separation and they need to rebuild that connection. And so we come at it face on. We have a curriculum that's called Families Reunite. It's 6 hours. We tend to divide it into 2 3-hour or 3 2-hour. And it's facilitated by a Spanish speaker. And we usually partner with a school social worker or counselor because there is emotional fallout. And we address the issue. How are you getting along with your children? Why do you think that is? Have you discussed the past? And then we actually give them conversation starters, and we have them practice writing an apology so that they can have those tough conversations with their children.
It's a very hands-on, having
very,
witnessed it myself.
Very interactive.
Very hands-on, very emotional, yeah. But really kind of opens up so that kids can label some of those feelings, and parents can sort of help their child understand that they do can see it from their perspective.
Exactly.
It can be very transformative. We are actually about out of time, but if you could offer our listeners who maybe aren't in this situation themselves but want to be supportive of immigrant families in their community who are reuniting, what would be one sort of tip or strategy you'd offer for us as a community on how we can support these kids and families?
Well, I think awareness, just general awareness that these families are doing the best that they can and that they have come here because they were fighting violence or poverty or sometimes, you know, worse, so that they've come here, they're happy to be here, and they want to learn. But like all families, they may need a little assistance and a little direction on the best ways to do that. And parents often come not knowing that they can get involved in their child's education. So we work a lot with that as well, giving parents some, I guess, expanding their capacity so that they can become leaders in their family, but also in their own community and get involved. And we find the more involved the parents are, the better off the children do.
And ultimately, our community becomes more enriched by their contributions and their children's future contributions.
Very much so.
Thank you, Robin, for joining us and talking about this interesting topic and very timely topic. When families are separated because of immigration, difficult and painful situations can occur for everyone involved. Parents often immigrate to seek a better future for the family, but in doing so are forced to leave their children behind. After the separation process, families can face a loss of trust, connection, and understanding. But successful reunification is possible, and it requires a deep and clear understanding of what the process means for both the parents and the children. It's critical that immigrant parents understand the impact and challenges of reunification and prepare for them before the arrival of their children. Children need time to adapt, and parents need support from the community to make the best of the situation. This has been Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, and I want to thank Robin Hamby from Fairfax County Public Schools for joining me to talk about this very important topic. Remember, kids need connections. We are all responsible for connecting with the children in our communities, and we can each help families thrive. For more information about family reunification, as well as other parenting challenges, visit the SCAN website at scanva.org.